Father, we thank you that we can come to you together on our knees. Lord, you said your house would be called a house of prayer. That's our desire. And we acknowledge before you that we are desperate for you today. We thank you, Father, that our desperation is born of our own need, but also of our realization of your greatness and your willingness to come and meet among your people. We pray you would walk in our midst. We would sense your presence in an awesome way, as we already do. We thank you that we have the joy of singing, that you have put a song in our hearts. It's a song of redemption and a song of grace, that when sin was as black as could be, you came. And we thank you that one day you will come again. And we rejoice in you. We pray that today you would be glorified on this day, that today Jesus would have preeminence in every heart and life, individually, and as your body, your church. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 150. As my brother has said, last week we preached on the corporate worship of the church, and we looked at Psalm 96, and we mentioned that there are several truths in Psalm 96. We looked at what was cultural in church, and what was biblical. And the first thing we saw that was biblical in church, if you read Psalm 96, verse 1, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth." Verse 2a says, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name." Now, just to give you a preview of what I'm going to be preaching on next week, verse 2 says, "Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day." So next week, I'm going to preach on why we preach at church. So if you ever wondered why in the world preachers preach at church, be here next Sunday. That's free. That's like a commercial. Only not nearly as glitzy. And so, but today, the first thing we notice is that the Bible tells us that the church, God's people, sing. They praise God. Henry Blackaby, the great writer of Experiencing God, said this, that the mark of a revived church is singing with joy. That when the joy goes out of the songs of our hearts, that revival needs to break out in our church. And one of the things that testifies to me of God's grace in our church is to hear you sing. As I listen to you sing and watch your faces and turn around and watch people that are old and young lifting their hands in praise to God and singing with joy, what I know is revival is at work. God's Spirit is at work in our church. That is the evidence of the Spirit of God. Sometimes I come into the praise band and pray in the mornings before the services. And a couple of times I've snuck in here and come in and prayed with them. And then listen to the songs as they practice. And it's just as good in practice. Some mornings, practice is better. I mean, it's just amazing. God's Spirit just moves in practice. I came in one morning and Kathy Van Dyke was back there in the back. And she was just, her eyes were closed. She was in heaven. I mean, she was here, but she was in heaven with the Lord. It was so obvious. And I thought, this is what every day ought to be like for God's people. It ought to be worship. Well, let's read Psalm 150, and we're going to ask just five basic questions what the psalmist raises, okay? Well, that's all we're going to do. Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then the psalm ends as it begins. In Hebrew, it says this, hallelujah, because that's praise the Lord in Hebrew. So at the beginning, it says hallelujah. And at the end, it says hallelujah. So join with me and let's read the first verse, the first part in Hebrew together. Ready? Hallelujah. That's what it says. Hallelujah. It's a praise psalm. And there are a lot of these in the Psalms. They are the songs of the church. When the church wanted a hymn book, they turned to the Psalms and they sang the Psalms. And as they listened to the Psalms, they expressed their praise to God. So let's ask the first question. What does it mean to praise the Lord? What does it mean to praise the Lord? When the Bible says, praise the Lord, hallelujah, what does it mean? Does it just mean walking around like an idiot going, hallelujah? Not necessarily. People can do that and not praise God. And people can not say those words and praise God. Because praise means, first, the joyful adoration of the Lord. Praise is adoring God. It is loving Him. You ever listen to two lovers talk to each other? It's kind of fun. I've been watching Stephen and Anna, you know, get ready to get married and everything. And Stephen is Mr. Shy and reserved and quiet. But when he talks to Anna, listen, love comes out. It's amazing to hear the joy and how much he loves her and how precious she is to him. He loves to express that. Why? Because he loves her. Let me tell you this. When you love the Lord Jesus, joy and adoration are going to come out. You're going to like to be in His presence. You're going to want to express your praise for Him. You're going to want to stand in His presence and say, you are so great. Thank you that one day when sin was as black as it could be, you came. Thank you for that. Your heart's going to be filled with gratitude to realize you have been redeemed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your sin has all been forgiven, that it has been washed away, and that you are a new creature in Christ, and you ought to say, hallelujah! I've been saved. I've been forgiven of my sins. You ought to sing with joy. It ought to be joyful adoration to the Lord. But let me tell you this, it ought to be heart appreciation to the Lord. If you look in Hebrews 13, 15, Hebrews talks to us and he says, therefore, by him let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. What? That is what? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We ought to be filled with appreciation for all that God has done. And let me tell you this. And I'm going to give you a secret. I'm going to give you a tip here. The enemy of praise is a self-focus. You want to watch people, they walk around, they're unhappy all the time. Even Christians, you know what? They're focusing on self. Their depression is all about me and how things are not going my way. Their anger is all about me and how everybody's mistreating me. Their selfishness and pity are all about me and the way that the world's not doing me right. You know what that tells me? Your focus isn't on the Lord. You're not living for God. You're not looking to Him. You want to get your joy back? Let me tell you how to get your joy back. I'm not kidding. You want to get your joy back? Sit down, get out a piece of paper, and write down all the things you have to be grateful for. I mean everything. Running water, flush toilets. If you don't think you're grateful for flush toilets, go with me to Africa. I'll make you grateful. I promise you. I've been out there where I was thinking, oh, Jesus, couldn't they just have more in the hole? I mean, you know, it's just like, but I'm telling you, you could be grateful to God. And you start writing down all the things for which you're grateful. Family and friends and health and strength and finances and a car to drive. You don't have to walk everywhere you go. You got gasoline you can buy. You know, it may be high, but praise God, you got the money and you can buy it. You know, in some countries, it's $11 a gallon. You ought to be thankful you can still afford gasoline. You ought to be grateful you got food. How many of you have stopped and thanked God for a grocery store? You don't have to grow it all. I mean, some of you think it grows in cans. I mean, you know, it's just kind of, you know, it's just amazing how blessed we really are. And in the midst of this profound blessing, we live such self-focused lives that it's so all about me that I live unhappy and bitter and depressed and sad because it's about me. And we ought to get our eyes off of ourselves and sit down and write a list of all the things that we've done and just think about the Lord and what He's done for me. He's saved me. He's forgiven me of my sin. He's given me hope. He's given me joy. He's given me purpose. And I'll tell you what, your heart will be filled with gratitude and you'll start having your joy back. Tell you what else you can do. You really want your joy back. Write a list of all the people who've blessed your life and then write them all a note. Just say, thanks for blessing my life. Thanks for what you do. You want to be more blessed when you leave today? Go up to the choir and the praise band, your Sunday school teacher, and just say, thank you for what you do. Thank you for loving me and teaching the word. Thank you for singing with joy. Thank you for using your talent for the glory of God. Go to your deacon and say, thanks for praying for me and caring about me. You want your joy back? Really? Listen, praise is the way we get our joy back. It really is. And if you're not filled with praise, it's because your life is self-focused. And this is the truth. Praise means to lift our eyes and our hearts up off of ourselves and to focus on the only one who's worthy, and I'm not. Folks, I'm just the messenger boy. I'm not worthy of anything. I just get to preach the glorious, unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, and I am blessed beyond measure. What a great job. You guys pay me for this. Well, you're crazy. But anyway, I'm so grateful that you do, and I thank God for it. What a joy to get to do what I love to do and get my heart focused on Him. So praise is joyful adoration and heart appreciation of the Lord Himself. Just the recognition of who He is and what He does, which we'll see in just a minute. Notice, where do we praise the Lord? What the Bible tells us where to praise the Lord. And it tells us, really does, very clear. Look in verse 1, the end of verse 1. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Well, there's two places there. Number one, praise Him in the church, in the sanctuary, in the house where you meet together, you ought to praise the Lord. Beloved, there ought to be, you ought to get together and be so excited about getting here on Sunday so you can praise God together. You ought to rejoice in your praise and just think, man, we get to sing praises to God. We get to listen to our choir lift us to heaven and talk about the love of God. We get to listen to the praise band take us and transport us to the throne as we sing about one day what it's really going to be like and turn our eyes off of ourselves and onto Jesus. We ought to praise Him in the sanctuary. We ought to praise Him through the preaching of the Word. Why? Because you get to hear from the Lord on a regular basis. God chooses the foolishness of preaching to save sinners and to transform His believers. God uses preaching. I don't understand the why. That's God's method. This is what He's chosen. But what a privilege it is to hear the Word of God and let it encourage and bless your heart. You ought to praise God in church. When you get here, you ought to come with a heart of praise. And you got to prepare your heart. You really want to enjoy church? Get up 15 minutes earlier. Pray with your family before you leave the house and say, Lord, just a simple prayer. Let me just tell you this, really simple. Lord, today we're going to go to the house of the Lord. We're going to meet with our family, the church. Lord, bless our fellow family members. Lord, I know so-and-so is struggling today. Would you bless her and touch her and bring healing to her? Lord, I know our pastor is going to be trying to preach the Word of God today, and Lord, you know he needs help. Would you help him, Lord? And you know, I just really pray. Lord, bless the praise band as they prepare. They're coming to, they want to turn their hearts toward you. Give them grace and wisdom today. Lord, bless the sound people who make everything go so well. Bless them. God, honor them. Lord, bless my Sunday school teacher and prepare their heart. Give them joy as they teach. You do that in about, how long did that take me? A minute? How long could it take you? I mean, just a minute. And you know what? Your hearts would be turned to the Lord and you'd be more ready to worship. Instead, what do we do to church, all the way to church? I can't believe, did you leave the coffee on? I can't believe this. And then we get to church and say, hey, brother, how you doing? You know, and the truth is we ought to prepare our hearts before we come so that we can praise Him in His sanctuary. Notice the second place we praise the Lord. Praise Him in the firmament. Now, where do you think that is? Well, that's everywhere else. There's only two places where you praise the Lord. When you're gathered together with God's people and when you're outside. So when's that? Everywhere else, anywhere you are, you can praise God in the shower. You say, oh, Brother Sid, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Who cares in the shower? You're the only one in there. You can sing off key as loudly as you want to. I'm the only one who sings off key and they put it on a CD. I mean, you know, so they did that a long time ago, and I found the CD the other day and am burning all copies that I know about. But you can praise God and sing in the shower. You can praise God in your car. Your car ought to be a worship service. Let me tell you this. You can turn on K-Love and sing with those guys, but you can sing by yourself in the car. Just turn off the radio and sing praises to God. You can praise Him, and you can lift your voice up. Just praise the Lord. Just driving. I pulled up beside an African-American young lady the other day, and she was worshiping. I could tell she was just in worship right there in the car. She was having more fun. And I thought, man, I wanted to roll down the window and say, what are you singing? Can we sing it together?
She was happy. She was joyful. She was singing, and it was about Jesus. And I noticed a lady behind me in the mirror one day, and her hands are up. We were at a stoplight, praise God. Well, her hands are up, and she was singing and praising to the Lord. And I just thought, that's what worship ought to be outside in the firmament. You ought to praise Him. Worship is both public and private. When you're by yourself. My wife can tell sometimes when I'm just unwinding, I will go to YouTube and start playing. Like last night, I played Glorious Day 3 times, and I was just thinking, boy, it would be so awesome if the praise band would sing Glorious Day today. And so my heart's wish was met, because I just sat there and listened to that and just let it roll over my heart and just let me worship. And you know what? You need that. You can do it in private, but you can do it in public. You ought to do it out in public where everybody's watching. They ought to hear you sing. They ought to say, why are you so happy? You say, because I have a song in my heart that just cannot wait to get out. It's bubbling up on the inside. It wants to come out. It's just there. I can't keep it in. It's not just a fire. It's a river of living water that just wants to bubble forth and bless and refresh others. And so I'm going to sing. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to sing in public and private, because listen, praise is the overflow of a love relationship with Him. Do you hear me? Praise is the overflow of a love relationship with Jesus. Do you love Him? We were doing an ordination, and I had all these questions, you know, my theologically right questions, my ministry questions, my practical questions. And so I go through all this long list of questions. And Brother Jimmy Sparks was in the ordination council. And I went around and asked the brothers if they wanted to ask anything. And Brother Jimmy asked the really important question and taught me a life lesson. He said, son, do you love the Lord Jesus? You know, I thought, That's the real, he got the good question. It's like rats. He got the good question. But it taught me a life lesson. It reminded me that, you know what, if you know all the answers theologically in the ministry and you don't love Jesus, you're going to miss the ministry. But if you love Jesus, even if you don't know all the answers, and nobody does, if you love Jesus, that matters more. Praise is the outflow, the overflow of a love relationship with Jesus. Somebody who's just caught up in Him. They're just overwhelmed by His grace. They're amazed by His mercy. They're entranced by His love, that He would love a sinner like me so much that He would die for my sin so that I could be made right with Him. How amazing is that? And listen, if you ever get over it, get back. Just get back to wherever it was you got over it and get right with God. Praise, we praise Him everywhere. Notice, how do we praise the Lord? Or excuse me, third, why do we praise the Lord? And this verse 2 says this, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Two things you need to learn. Why do you praise the Lord? Number one, you praise Him for what He does. And number two, you praise Him for who He is. You praise Him for what He does, His mighty acts. What has He done? Why, He turned back the waters of the Red Sea and parted them so His people could walk over on dry land. He delivered Israel from Egypt with 10 powerful plagues that got Egypt's attention. He demonstrated His power through Elijah and Elisha. He showed up and gave Joshua and Israel the land of promise. He delivered His people into captivity because of their sin and brought them back out of captivity when they repented and turned back to Him. He sent His own Son, Jesus, who came and lived a sinless life, who lived love poured out, touching and healing the blind and healing the lame and healing the leper and speaking to the dead and raising him again. He came in mighty power. So we praise Him for what He's done. He is the amazing God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He keeps His covenant. He keeps His promises. He never lies. You can trust Him. But you praise Him for who He is. Who is He? Listen to what it says. He is excellent and great. How great is He? There's no limit to His There's no way to describe how great he is. The heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. He calls all the stars by name. Now, the Hubble telescope's telling us that what we thought were stars are galaxies. Billions upon billions upon billions of stars out there, and he calls them all by name. He knows every hair on your head. For me, it's getting easier, but you know, but still, he knows. He knows everything about me, and he loves me anyway. He knows the worst thing I've ever done or will do, and still, he loves me. His love for me is not based upon my performance, but upon the cross. He loves me. He is love. He is true love. He is grace. He is holy. He is majestic. He is glorious. He is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-wise and everywhere present. He is the great God who made the heavens and the earth by his mighty power and his outstretched arm. It is nothing for him to speak and things come to pass. And one day he will speak, and by the word of his power, this same earth that is will be dissolved. And a new heavens and a new earth will be created by his power. That's how great our God is. He's great and greatly to be praised. And so therefore we praise him for who he is. The sovereign, mighty Lord. We praise him for who he is. How do we praise him? We'll look in verses 3-5. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Notice two things this tells us. Number one, praise him with instruments. Use the instruments that God's given. I get so excited, man. I loved it when David Haraway was able to play the bass and Jared could play the sax. And I was looking forward to the day when Nikki would play the violin and we just have a praise band up here with basically a full orchestra. And people say, man, look at all those guitars. You know what? Those are all stringed instruments. Those are exactly what the Bible's talking about. They had stringed instruments in the ancient times. They had drums in the ancient times. They had cymbals in the ancient times. And they played them with loud, clashing sounds. Why? To bring glory to God, to praise him with every instrument that was created. Let me ask you this. What was his name? Where's my wife? She's gone now that I need her. There's a guy, there was an old rocker that got saved in the 70s. No, you won't know his name, don't worry. But he wrote it, he had an old album, and you know what he called it? He called, Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music? That was the title of his album. And the point was, God gave us all these instruments, and God commanded us to use all these instruments for his glory. And why not use them in the service of the King? Why not let them bring glory to God? Why not use every instrument that we could use for the glory of God and for the praise of his name and for the good of his people? Every instrument ought to bring glory to God. Anytime an instrument brings glory to the enemy, that's a terrible thing. Anytime it brings glory to God, that's a good thing. So we praise him with instruments. But notice also we praise him with intensity. Look in verse 4. It says this, praise him with timbrel and dance. Now, this is obviously a picture of the day that David danced before the Lord. David danced before the Lord with all his might. He got out there and jumped around, and people kind of made fun of him. His own wife made fun of him because of his actions. But, beloved, let me tell you what did happen that day. David was intense in his praise of God. God, listen, Jesus said this. He said, I have this against you, that you are neither cold nor hot. You are lukewarm. And because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. You ever tasted lukewarm coffee? I picked up the wrong cup the other day. If you watch me here, I get cups of coffee and they, you know, I lose them and then I find another one and then I get another one. And so I've got like 7 floating around the office during the week. And I picked up one of the 7 that wasn't the warmest one. And it was nasty. You'd take a sip and immediately you know, oh, wrong cup. And what you really want to do is just run somewhere and get outside and get it out because it's just nasty. It doesn't taste good at all. Half-hearted praise is like that to God.
If you're going to praise him, get with it. Don't stand back and go, one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be. I mean, you getting the point? I'm going to stop just for the sake of all of us. But the point is, who likes that? Sing with joy. Be intense about it. Give it your whole heart. When you sing praise to God, you ought to put everything you have into it. You say, well, Brother Stan, we don't want to be fanatics. You go to a ball game and you paint your stupid face orange and blue. What are you talking about? I see people get up in ball games, they about have heart attacks. I want you to be that intense here. I want you to be more intense about the one who is really worthy than those guys that are out there on a gridiron that, you know, that tomorrow are going to get arrested for doing something stupid and kicked off the team. You ought to be intense in your worship. It ought to be passion for you. You ought to be excited. If you want to raise your hands, you raise your hand. If you don't want to raise your hand, you don't have to raise your hand. We're not legalists. You know more spiritual raising your hand than not, but if you want to express your worship to God, get up on your toes, raise your hand, you do it. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Listen, it's Jesus. It's just you and him. When you love your wife, when you love your husband, do you worry about what everybody else thinks? What are they going to think if I kiss my wife? I don't worry about that. I love my wife. She's back. Yeah, good. Wherever you were going to, you're back, and I'm glad to have you back. And so, now last thing, quick, and I thought this was going to be a short sermon, and y'all have turned it into a long one, and so y'all, it's y'all's fault. Who should praise the Lord? Well, look what it says there in verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath praises the Lord. I tell you this. You know when God let Balaam's donkey talk? You know what I really believe? I really believe God was letting us know that the donkeys know how to praise God. The donkey stopped in honor and recognition of the angel of the Lord. The donkey was afraid of God. The donkey had more fear of God than the prophet. Now I'm going to move on. And I tell you, beloved, I believe that God's creatures, I believe that when those birds sing, when that lion roars, they're praising their creator. And listen, they don't even know him as Father. They don't know him as Father, but we do. And let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let me tell you what that means. That means everything that has breath should praise the Lord. That means that every believer should praise the Lord. Listen, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a true follower of Jesus, your life ought to be characterized by praise. And if it is not, don't be surprised if you're dragging others to hell in your wake. Because if they watch you and you're joyless, why would they want that? They can have bitterness and unhappiness and misery at the bar. Why in the world would they want that, beloved? They ought to want your joy. They ought to look at you and say, why are you so happy? Don't you know the economy is going to crash? They, yeah, praise God it is one day. Don't you know things are going to get worse? Man, they're going to get lots worse. You don't even have a clue. You need to go read Revelation. You really realize how bad it's going to be. You want to be right with God. Because I'm telling you, it's going to get bad, bad. It ain't even started yet compared to what it's going to be. You think it's bad now, wait till God unleashes wrath. Praise God. I'm so excited. Say, why? Because Jesus is coming back. And therefore, I can rejoice in the worst of trials. I have hope. And we ought to praise the Lord. But listen, every unbeliever will praise the Lord. You see, people say, well, you know what? I can live what I want to do. I don't have to honor him with my life. I don't have to worship him. I can do what I want to do. Now you can. But the Bible describes another day. The Bible describes that day like this. The Bible starts off by talking about Jesus. And it says this, therefore let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a bondslave, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore also, God has highly exalted him and has given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, one day every knee will bow. Whether you did in this life or not will not matter. But on that day, your knee will bow in grudging admiration and in bitter acknowledgement. Jesus is Lord. No matter what. But today, beloved, is the day you can confess him gladly. Today you can come to know him freely. Today you can experience his forgiveness and his love, and you can know the living God today. You can experience joy. You can experience purpose. You can experience praise. Your heart could be filled with praise to know the living God. And I invite you to come to know him today. Christian, if you've let sin and self rob you of your praise, I invite you to come today to the altar. Say, Jesus, restore my praise. Fill me again with your joy. Renew my heart. Let's bow for prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Beloved, my heart's only desire is that you meet with Jesus, that you praise him, that your hearts be turned toward him and you fall in love with him anew. If you're an unbeliever, if you're here today and you've never bowed the knee to Jesus, even if you made maybe a childhood profession, but you know in your heart Jesus Christ does not have any rightful place in your life that he deserves, today I invite you to give your heart to Christ. I invite you to come to Christ, receive his forgiveness, experience his joy, find new purpose, stop living for self, begin to live for the God who created you to praise him and to know him. And Christian, if you've let self get in the way, today I invite you to do the same. Get right with God. Take self out of the picture and live for Jesus. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would have his way in our hearts, that every heart would be attuned to you, that we would fall in love with you anew, we would be filled with joy and praise because you are worthy. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.